M3, number 3B.
Now, in order to show what this is meant, I take again a symbolism. Now, these are, I show you three pictures, and they are symbolism. They are not Christian signs, but Jesus was talking about mustard seeds and so on. Well, we have to talk in other language. This is a picture of dimensionalism, and it reveals to us what dimensionalism really can reveal to us. You can see here a space, a three-dimensional space. And in this three-dimensional space, say, you have a three-dimensional cylinder. Now, this cylinder is three-dimensional. But what happens with this phenomena? If that phenomena is translated to another dimension than the three-dimensional. Here it is translated onto a lower dimension than three, namely to the two-dimensional. Here you have this very cylinder translated or projected on a lower dimension, but what you get is no more a cylinder. It's just a rectangular. Or you project that three-dimensional down on a two-dimensional surface, and you get here a circle. Now, dimensionalism would say, or let me put it the other way around, reductionism would say a cylinder is but a rectangular. And the other one would come along and say, a cylinder is but a circle. You see? And the other one would come along and say, well, a cylinder is just a three-dimensional circle that is overformed into a cylinder. Well, who is right? There are three views of the same thing. If we can't communicate with each other on a dimensional basis, then we will never understand each other, because each one will speak from a different dimension. But if we speak from a whole dimensional sense, then we take in all the dimensions. Here it would be to take in the three-dimensional and the two-dimensional. You see, a surface is a two-dimensional. And though, see, this is the point, and though the phenomena seem to contradict each other. This circle seems to contradict this rectangle, and it contradicts this cylinder. Though these three phenomena contradict each other, they are the same. They are the same, if viewed from the dimensional consciousness. So, if you take, instead of this cylinder, you take man, the phenomena man, and say you project it on a lower level, say on the level of the somatic level, then you have just a body. If you project that man on a psychological level, you get perhaps the psychological man. Now, is man a psychological proposition, or is it a somatic proposition? Well, dimensionalism would say he is everything. They don't contradict. These contradictions do not really contradict if we see it as the unity of man. See, the moment we see it as a whole, as all dimensions, then they don't contradict anymore. So let's just summarize that, you see, to see that these seeming contradictions do not really contradict the unity of man in this case. So what we have to see is that any phenomena like man has multivarious forms of expression. And though these expressions are very different from each other, they are not contradicting each other, but belong to the unity of the whole phenomena. So that when we come then to Christian Science, we will see how this is so important and why people talking and discussing Christian Science can never come to a mutual understanding, because everyone has his own likings for one or the other dimension. And so what we have to learn is always to see everything in the science of being from the most fundamental dimensions, which we have then are science, divine science, Christian Science, and absolute Christian Science and Christian Science. And on each of these dimensions, the same phenomena appears in a completely different way, without contradicting in the unity. Is that clear? Well, I take another example to explain this dimensionalism, and this is this. Here we have again a space, a three-dimensional space, you see? And if we hang up in this three-dimensional space three very different objects, here a cone, here a cylinder, here a sphere, and they are all three-dimensional, and if I translate them to a lower dimension, to a two-dimensional surface here, I get the same phenomena in this case. In other words, I can get a phenomena on a lower plane, on a lower dimension, which are not contradicting each other, they are all the same, but when translated into a higher dimension, into the third dimension, they indicate three very different things. And that's the solution you really get also in practice of Christian Science, you see. You have a practitioner, and the first patient comes along and says, I have a heart disease. Let's symbolize this with this circle. And the second one comes along, and funny enough, he says, look here, something is wrong with my heart. And he gives the same indication. And afterwards, somebody else comes along and says, oh, you know, these times, everybody suffers something with the heart, and 40% of all the people die because of heart attacks and so on, and gives the very same symptoms. They are equal. The practitioner, who is a reductionalist, he says, oh, yes, to the second, I know I had this one before. To the third, he says, oh, yes, I had two others like this. Or I had them all over the place. I know how to deal with them. I deal with them in the same way. That's the reductionists. Whereas the dimensionalist in Christian Science says, yes, they seem to be the same thing. They have the same name, the same symptoms. But behind it is certainly, on a higher level, a completely different cause. On a higher level, there is no congruity between the symptom and the cause. You have here three different causes that have caused the same symptoms. Isn't that so? So that science practitioner, not the reductional practitioner, would treat them differently, very differently, because he could see what that which is lying behind that disease is always something else. So that we can't rely on the outward phenomena and say this is equal and therefore the cause must be equal, because cause is another dimension than effect. And so only when we understand this dimensional thinking and reasoning, we can see how to deal with it. This is just a way of trying to convey in a graphical picture that we must be aware, first of all, that there are various dimensions in being. Second, that these dimensions which we have in being show forth completely different phenomena. And that third, that these different phenomena may not have to contradict each other, but in the unity of the whole, they are just other expressions on other dimensions. So that all dimensions taken together, and that's what we want to do really in this weekend, that all dimensions taken together are really giving us the whole concept. You can also look at it like this. If we have here a surface which is two-dimensional, surface is always two-dimensional. And if you have another phenomenon like this cone, which is three-dimensional, they are of different dimensions. And different dimensions somehow don't communicate properly with each other. Say, if we all together were tiny little microbes, just tiny, tiny, tiny little microbes, and we would be placed, say, on a big, big, big balloon, and we would walk around on this balloon, we as microbes would always say we are walking on a two-dimensional surface. We couldn't have the view that this balloon is really a balloon and it is three-dimensional. We would only have a concept of a two-dimensional surface. Now, in that way, we would be a flatlander walking on a space figure and not knowing that we are walking on a three-dimensional sphere. See? We would be two-dimensional in consciousness, though we would be living and moving in a far higher dimension without realizing it. Now, we learn in Christian Science that we should realize that we are not just living and moving and having our being on a lower dimension of materiality or corporeality or of time and space, but that there are higher dimensions, and of which we may not be conscious of, but Christian Science wants us to make us. Then we can explain the phenomena which happens on our material lower dimension. You can see this here. If we would be a flat lander, which only has a two-dimensional consciousness, and we would have here this two-dimensional flat lander consciousness, and there comes a phenomenon like this three-dimensional cone. We couldn't be conscious of this three-dimension because our consciousness would just be two-dimensional and we couldn't go higher than what we are. So this cone, which is three-dimensional, would come and suddenly touch us at the point. And having only a two-dimensional consciousness, we would say, oh, golly, something has happened suddenly. Out of the blue, without any cause, there is suddenly a hole, a little hole in our universe. Where has it come from? We can't explain it. And we couldn't explain it. We only could state, suddenly a wonder happened, a hole appeared. And this hole would get bigger and bigger and bigger, would here already be rather big, and here perhaps very big. And then when the cone goes through that, it disappears. And suddenly we would say, a wonder has happened, that hole has disappeared. Can you see that if consciousness, say, is here two-dimensional, it cannot explain the phenomena happening on that two-dimensional plane if a higher dimensional phenomena is touching it? See? You can say, well, perhaps usually we experience this as a sudden birth and as maturity, and as death, and then what is after death. We experience something which we can't reasonably explain. Where does life come from, and why does it disappear? But if we take the view of the higher dimension, see, if we have a three-dimensional consciousness here, and say this is life, life itself, then life itself comes at this point and touches a lower dimension, which is perhaps birth for the lower dimension, which is perhaps maturity, which is perhaps death for the lower dimension. But the cone itself isn't touched by all that. Therefore, the higher dimension here is never touched by the lower dimensions. The lower dimensions don't change the higher dimensions. So, if you can see that, you see, for instance, that if this is life, that life remains life, that no matter if it touches the material somewhere and is called birth, no matter if that one life touches through 70 years the mortal in many, many ways, and he calls it maturity and decay, no matter if the mortal calls it afterwards death, that cone remains a cone, is untouched, life remains life, goes right through. Life goes right through every lower dimension. Life goes right through the lower dimension of the physical and the mental and the psychological, goes right through without being touched and without taking notice of what happens on the lower dimension. Now, if we can see that, then really Christian Science makes sense. Then we will see why it is that the Christian Science and Christian Science textbook is speaking about the same phenomena in so many, many ways. And we want to see that. But first, I'm very eager that you understand the, so to say, the necessity of seeing things in a dimensional way and not in a reductional way. Yes. In this case, we really begin there where we wanted to begin with the study material which I have sent out. In that study material, I said as point one, I said we shall summarize the main points that differentiate science, divine science, absolute Christian Science, and Christian Science. See, these are three different levels. These are three different dimensions. And therefore, we must be expecting that the same thing, the moment it changes its dimension, changes its form. And though it changes its form, it does not contradict its wholeness. That's the point. And so let's see these dimensions. Here we have the dimensions, I put them this way, the dimension of science, divine science, absolute Christian Science, and Christian Science. Science is the, if we want to say so, the highest dimension, and this is a descending way down to the level of Christian Science. Now, let's try to take a few main phenomena and see how they transmute, so to say, the moment they are translated from one dimension to the other, and how they change their concept, but without really contradicting themselves. Let's take first this column. This is perhaps the most explicit one. I think if one can remember this first column here, then I think one is always safe. One can always somehow discover again for oneself what these dimensions really mean. On the level of science, you have just principle itself as being. You see, the whole thing is about being. So being, on the highest level, says, I'm principle per se, principle itself, principle as such. Being just says, all what I am is the one infinite principle. And we could be very happy with that until we begin to realize, but this one principle is not just a big amorphous mass of principle, but that principle has infinite shades or infinite aspects of itself, and that only by showing the infinite aspect of itself we really see the multivarious beauty and of it. So in divine science, this principle itself is translated to a lower level of divine science, where we see that principle and idea is one. We introduce principle through its idea, but not as two things, but as one. Always when we have divine science, it is a sense of oneness which we get, but not a oneness of number, of a number one, of a single unit. See, this oneness means that principle is expressing itself or is showing forth itself in infinite ways, but that all those infinite ways are not separated from its principle and therefore are just one. So that every aspect of principle is principle itself. That's the point, you see. That every aspect of principle is principle itself. If we translate it further to the level of absolute Christian science, then we see that the question which is asked here is, but what is the relationship between principle and this idea? Is there a definite relationship in which principle always expresses itself anew? Principle is not something static. Principle is not something that has only one expression, but has infinite expression. The infinite never repeats itself, and therefore must have infinite expression of itself. And the question is, how is each expression, each idea, governed by its principle? So you see now that a completely different question is put here than up here. If we come to the level of Christian science, we even go a step further down in the dimensions and ask, but what is then this idea doing to its opposite, to its illusion? And so we have the relationship of ideas to illusions. See, always when we come to Christian science, then always the relationship between the positive and negative is under consideration. In absolute Christian science, always the relationship of the principle to its infinite ideas in a positive way is under consideration. If we are in divine science, then always the relationship of principle to its idea as one is under consideration. Until finally thought reaches science itself and says, there is just principle, and that's all there is. So we can see, while we have up here, you see, the phenomena which says, I am principle as such, that very same thing appears on the level of Christian science in a completely different form. Namely, it says, how do ideas of principle rule over illusions, over its opposite? Can you see that this is a completely different proposition? And that none of these dimensions can be left out. We'll see that I go over it and over it until you dream of it. But can you see what this first column, I think, gives a very fundamental sense of this dimension? Although the second one is quite clear, you have the sense of oneness, of the infinite one. When it is translated to divine science, it becomes oneness. Oneness is something very definitely different than the infinite one. Oneness means that all ideas together are one, that the infinitude of ideas are one. And the moment we come to absolute Christian science, we begin to see that each idea to each other idea has an indestructible unity. It's again the relationship. And the moment it comes to Christian science, we see that this infinite one makes one one. Makes one one. The question, the adult question, how can we be one with the infinite one, is answered right down here, that the infinite one, because it only knows its ideas as oneness, and therefore is united with every idea, makes one one with that idea.